Let us start with Isaiah 33. We'll start with Isaiah and we'll just pick it up from there. Amen. Amen. Isaiah and chapter 33. So we're still putting on strong emphasis on what we started a couple of weeks ago, and that is regarding healing. Today's meeting, if you want to title it, you can title it "With His Stripes I'm Healed." Amen. You can put it there like that, that with His stripes I'm healed, with Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. Isaiah in chapter 33, we read from verse 20. Isaiah 33, we're reading from verse 20. It says, look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tabernacle that will not be taken down. Not one of its stakes will ever be removed. Amen. Amen. Nor will any of its cord be broken. 21 says, but there the majestic Lord will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams, in which no galley with horse will sail. You see, no majestic ship pass by, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our Lord giver, the Lord is our King, He will save us. Verse 23, your tackle is loosed. They could not strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then the prey of great plunder is divided. The lame take the prey. Verse 24, that's where we're landing, 24. I want us to read it together. I think that would show participation. 24, let's go. And the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it. Amen. So he's saying the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Which inhabitant? He's talking about the inhabitants of Zion, because he said earlier in verse 20, he said, look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. He said, the inhabitant of it will not say, I am sick. We're going somewhere. He said, the inhabitant of it will not say, I'm sick. The Bible clearly says that, you know, for those who are believers, the Bible says we have come unto Mount Zion. We have come there. We are not going to, you know, that are told us. You know, you don't put everything in the future. And that's one of the problems I have with the church. I mean, I'm part of the church. I'm talking about the mainstream church. Is the fact that we put everything in the future. We put, you know, just put everything in the future. Put the healing, we put eternal life in the future. Put many things in the future. But that's not what it is. The Bible says we have come unto Zion. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 12. I would also want to indulge all of us to open our scriptures and to jot. Now, if you can't open, probably you're not familiar with it. This is the first time you'll be opening the Bible. We try to assist you by projecting. So, but you can as well type it down and jot it down. Okay? Praise God. You're welcome, sir. It's good to see you. God bless you. All right. Hebrews and chapter 12. And Ma. Thank you, Ma, too. You're welcome, Ma, too. All right? Yeah. I forgot your name again. Michael. Yeah. All right. Bless you. Please, let's celebrate them. Woo! They are pastors. They are ministers. And they pastor a particular church in Georgia. I mean, you pastor, you work with a ministry. Calvary Church. Yeah, he's serving there as a minister. Yeah, okay. I celebrate them, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for correcting that. All right, Hebrews 12. Amen. Amen. Hebrews and chapter 12. Amen. Hebrews 12, 22, for example, look at it. He says, but you have come unto what? Mount Zion. So I choose to open that for a reason so that we can note it down by ourselves. He said, we have come unto Mount Zion. It is a you will go. You know, if you say, well, Zion is coming, we're expecting Zion to come one day. No, he said, we have come unto Mount Zion. We have come there. It's the innumerable companies of angels to the church of the firstborn. That's where we have come. A believer, you as a believer, when you believe the gospel, when you believe what Jesus did for you, you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a spiritual place. Okay, but we're going somewhere. Okay, we're going somewhere. So, but don't forget what we read earlier. It says, we look unto Zion, okay, the city of the appointed feast. And he said something, fast forward to the last verse. He said, none will say in Zion that I am sick. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Okay. And there's something I want to, you know, I would like to buzz a little bubbles, you know, this morning, and also try to steer a couple of waters and also bring us to certain reality. Now, none will say I'm sick in Zion. None will say that. But look at, let's go back to that Isaiah. Isaiah 32. Amen. 33, rather. Isaiah 33. He said, none will say in Zion that I'm sick. Which sickness exactly is he talking about? Now, we will look at it. Now, that's what he said. Verse 24 says, and the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. The inhabitant of Zion will not say that I am sick. Now, he put a semicolon, right? Explaining what he meant by what sickness is he talking about. Okay? What sickness was he talking about there? He said, the people who dwell in it will be forgiven of their iniquity. So by sickness there, the prophet is talking about what? Sin. So clearly, very important. This is very important for us to know this. And I'm saying this for a reason. Because remember we said something 2 weeks ago. About 2 to 3 weeks ago, we said this. That the Holy Spirit will take of Jesus and show it to us. Remember that. Don't forget. The Holy Spirit will do what? He will take of Jesus and show it to us. Whatever Jesus did on the cross, because he said, when the Spirit of truth shall come, the Spirit of truth will show us things to come. And the things to come that the Spirit of God will show us is the things that Jesus would have done in his cross that is not known to men. Because, in fact, as at the time that Jesus was dying on the cross, the men who were around the cross did not understand what he was doing on the cross. In fact, they were crying. They were crying. People, family relationships, you know, mothers, friends were crying. They didn't know what he was doing. And their emotion was simply attached to the fact that, see, our brother is, you know, our friend is hung on the cross for what he did not commit. People that he had loved, he had healed. They were the people that conspired against him. They said, kill him, crucify him. So their emotion are clearly carnal. Whatever weep or tears that they shed were carnal. When Jesus told them that, hey, this is what I would do, they didn't understand most of the things that Jesus was telling them. So they were clearly emotional and carnal. The man who stood right at the feet of the cross only saw a man hanging on the cross. He didn't know the implication of it. It was the Holy Spirit that showed us things to come. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed to the apostles and the prophets, emphasizing some of the things that Jesus had told them and what the prophet had spoken. The Holy Spirit was saying, see, listen, what Jesus did on the cross was this. He showed them the things to come. He showed them that, hey, through the cross, Jesus Christ forgave our sins. Amen. The very sickness that has plagued mankind. Sickness. See, listen, everybody. The core, what plagued man is sin. What plagued us is sin. About, you know, people having, you know, issues with, you know, finance, you know, poverty, you know, there is a, you know, liver problem, you know, psychological problem, attacks in your mind, bad dreams, people tormenting you in your dream, chasing you with cutlass in your dream and all those things. The core plague of all this is sin. Without sin, all those things will not have come. The Bible says, through one man, sin entered into the world and death came by sin. So in other words, the coming in of sin brought in all kinds of Satan's goodies. It came together with it. So in other words, to address the core problem, we're addressing. So when the Bible says, none will say in Zion that I am sick, it says that because those who have come to Zion would have been forgiven their iniquities. Are we together, everybody? Yeah. Very important, very core. We're going somewhere. Very core. That the major sickness that has plagued us. So if you are still rattling around the concept of sin, am I forgiven, am I not forgiven, you don't know what you're talking about here. Because that's the reason why Jesus came. Jesus not came so that you can argue if he's the Son of God or the Son of Man. He came for one purpose. To die for our sins. To forgive our sin. To heal us of that which has plagued our core. The root of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why Jesus came. That's the very purpose. You know, when Jesus, when you feel condemned of yourself, and you feel Satan is condemning you, then you are losing sight of something. Let me see. Listen, I cannot even be condemned. I cannot. This is my point. See, I cannot even come to that point where I begin to, where when I talk about your heart blame you if you do something wrong, that concept is right. If you do something wrong, your heart will blame you. Amen. And sometimes when your knowledge is not even firm enough, the devil will always prank you. I use prank, but prank is not real. That is a prank. But your heart has been beating. Says, thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? For the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're going somewhere. Follow me. Everybody. He said, none will say in Zion that I am sick. You know what it means? It means that you will be saying always that I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Everybody in Zion is forgiven. Everybody in Zion. Zion is not a place where they conduct deliverance service and they're doing healing. He said, upon Zion, there shall be deliverance. What did he say about? Upon Mount Zion, there is delivery of things. That's what it means. It's not like they're conducting deliverance service on Zion. He said, upon Mount Zion, there shall be. See, look, come here. So, as you enter, let's say this is Zion. As he steps to that, there is delivery. Yes, that's what it means. Yeah. Bring it. Amen. Are you going to say, yeah? He's not saying, yeah, the Bible says, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Don't forget, he explained that deliverance. He said, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance at the house of what? Jacob are possessing their possession. So what is happening on Mount Zion is deliverance. So there's a delivery and possession. There's a delivery and there's what? A possession. That's what's happening on Zion. You enter Zion like this. You are getting a delivery and a possession. He's not like, Zion, we are ready. Hey, get out. You know, I'm not saying people could help cast out demons. We cast out demons. Okay? Those who are not in Zion, we'll cast out demons in them. And let me say this to you. If people are falling down, especially most people that fall down in love dominion, amen. They don't fall down doing healing or laying over because they are possessed. They are falling down because they are getting a whole load of God's power. Is the reason for many. There are many, of course, who fall down because they needed something to be filled, needed to be something to be cast out. But those who fall down sometimes, you see them falling down under power. It's because the power of God is eating them. So, no. Okay? Are you going to try to say, yeah? Say, they're falling down here. You know, don't worry. You know, most of the time, it's not even always. I even love them, they even fall down. Because some people have makeups. And some guys, they hold their ground. Say, Holy Spirit. No. I refuse. Amen. Ease yourself. But in Zion, no shall say what? I'm sick. Look at Isaiah 53. Because it's the same thing. It's the same extension in Isaiah 53. We are going somewhere. Isaiah 53, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53 says, Isaiah chapter 53 says in verse 4, he says, surely he has borne our griefs. Speaking of Jesus, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, hold on. Now, listen. Well, I'm going somewhere. Now, the concept of healing here, actually, Isaiah, I've said this before several times. Isaiah's statement here, actually, was actually, amen, for healing of the spirit. Amen. Was healing of the spirit. However, there is an application of it, and I'll tell you why the application is important. Follow me, okay? There's an application of it to our physical healing. Okay? I repeat again. What Isaiah was talking about here was the healing of the spirit of man, which has been inflicted with sin. The sin nature came through Adam, the first man. And anyone who has not received Jesus still has that nature. And by virtue of, by default, the person has condemnation or eternal damnation upon their head. Yes, sir. So through what Jesus is coming to do, which is healing, he said, with his stripes. What does he mean by that stripes? With his stripes, with what? The stripes there means what was laid on him. Hallelujah. Listen, everybody. Listen. He said, what was laid on him? That's the stripes there. He's not talking about, you know, it's the stripes. So, you know, by physical, we can say, well, stripes in terms of, you know, cane. But when you look at it, he said, we did esteem him smiting and stricken of who? Listen, everybody. Listen, is it not there?
Yes, sir.
Look at it. Is it verse 4?
Yes.
Is it verse 4 or verse 5? Verse 4. He said, verse 4 says, yet we esteem him stricken and smitten by God. Now, in other words, you know, when you know, this is with the, you know, because it's there, by his stripes I'm healed. You are looking at Roman soldiers. He's not Roman soldiers. You know that Roman soldiers, you know, flog him. They can't do anything. He's not Roman soldiers. He says that we did esteem him smitten and stricken of God. Who smit him and stricken him, or whatever English you can put him? God. And look at it. Look at it. He said, surely he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him what? Stricken and smitten of God. That's why the Bible says God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So it was that laying that God did on him. That was the stripes. Am I communicating to us here? It's not the Roman soldier's cane. It's not Roman soldier's cane. You know, it's by his stripes. You are looking at Jesus stretch. All those, by his stripes. No. He's talking about what God placed on him. On the cross that the Holy Spirit is showing us after the cross. Amen? Look at it. Look at 1 Peter 2. We connect all the dots together. So what healing did Jesus do? Again, the healing of our spirit. The healing of our spirit. Amen. Remember the Bible says, listen everybody, really listen. Remember the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made the curse for us. Because it is written what? Listen, everybody. Let's go there. Let's go to Galatians. What did I say we should open before? We'll come back to 1 Peter. But let's do Galatians again. Galatians verse 10. Verse 3. 3:10. Galatians 3:10, are you there? It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone. Now, look here, everyone. Look here. It says, for as many as are of the what? Works of the law are under what? Under what? Under what? Did he say are under the curses? Listen, did he say are under the curses? Because if you read Deuteronomy, you will say curses this. He's not even talking about curses. They are under the curse of the law. He's talking about one curse. He said there's a particular curse that the Lord brought. So it's a combination of many things we are looking at here. And Jesus coming as the doctor of it. Now, listen. Why? Put your hands. We come back to Galatians. Romans. Go to Romans. Glory to God. Romans in chapter 5. Don't forget, by his stripes you are healed. By his stripes my body is healed. By his stripes my spirit is healed. But we are going somewhere. But I want us to first establish that fact. Understand this. That what Jesus had come to do is to heal your spirit. He said, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. My spirit is healed. I'm a new person in my spirit. The Spirit of God is at work in you. Glory to God. He is. Forget about. See, I know your body, your experience are saying otherwise. Focus on Jesus that saves you. Your experience will change. Your experience will change. You're still struggling with some little petty, you know, sins here and there. You are focusing on the unnecessary. Focus on him, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Embrace him wholeheartedly and see if there will not be changes in your life. It is him that changes us. Don't say, well, you know, pastor, it's been difficult. I have this particular habit. You are focusing too much on the habit. Say, I have this particular habit. Amen. You have this particular habit. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? Amen. This particular habit. And he. And the habit is affecting you, you know. Amen. Say, but pastor, you know, the habit is not written in the... It's not written in the... See, let me see. It's killing you, you know. The habit is killing you, you know. The thing is this. We are not even saying, you are a bad person. You are, you know, No, we are saying that you know the habit is killing you. You need freedom from it. Eh? Come to Jesus. He will give you freedom. Embrace his total grace. Amen. Look at it. What did I say we should open again?
Romans 5.
Go there, Romans 5. Huh? Tell you your time. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 12. He says, He says, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death came through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Now, look at that. He said all what? Now, he used the word past tense. It's past tense, all sinned. He's not saying, I've told us before, he didn't say all are sinning. He said, all sinned. So when the Bible says, for all have sinned, past tense. So the conclusion of the scripture is that all sinned in Adam. Yes. Listen, everybody, listen. You give birth to a day-old baby. Now, let me say this to you. A day-old baby has not particularly sinned. We are saying a day-old baby has sinned. But the day-old baby does not have sin per se. Amen. You know. So how did we conclude that a day old baby has sinned? How? So we are concluding it because of Adam. He said, look at it. He said, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death spread upon all men. So what spread upon all men? That death, what passed upon all men? What passed upon all men? Is it sin? We are going somewhere. He said, listen. Don't get me wrong. Follow. That's why I told us before. We already thought, I thought a message a long time ago that when people ask the question, when babies die, where do they go to? Babies are not going to hell. You just understand. There's the concept. The concept is sin, yeah. Okay? What passed upon all men is death. So is it not spiritual death? Spiritual death? Death is death. Amen. God did not plan physical death for man. Yes, sir. Amen. When God created Adam, he didn't say, hey, you will die one day. He did create death for man. What God brought for man, that's why through the gospel, life and immortality has come to us. Yes, amen. Listen, I don't want you to miss this, everybody. I don't want to miss this. So he says this, he said, death passed upon man. He said, for that what? All have what? So there's a conclusion. It's a conclusion. So that's why the Bible says we have concluded by the scriptures that through one man, all are what? Sinned. Through one man. It's just like saying, my dad, just for example, my dad took a loan or debt in the name of our family of $10 billion. Amen. Amen. Or let's not say my dad. Let's say my dad's grandfather. For example, you know, because he's no mother life. So let's say my dad's grandfather took debt, $10 billion, in the name of his family. It means, as he died, my grandfather is that, he took it in the name of family, except my dad will change his surname. Even if he changed his surname, he's part of the family. There's nothing he can do. All of us have taken the debt. We'll be working to pay the debt. But did I take the debt?
No.
I'm asking, did I take the debt?
No.
But am I not paying for the debt?
Yes.
Why am I paying for the debt? Because it is concluded that since my grandfather took the debt, all the family will pay the debt. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now, look here. Continue. He says, that's verse 12. Verse 13. He says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not charged on man's account when there's no law. What we are trying to say is that the law was in... See, before the law of Moses came, sin was in the world. But sin was never charged to a baby's account, individual's account, not until the law came. So before the law came, sin is concluded in one man, Adam. But when the law came, then sin began. So after the law came, then me and I began to borrow my own money. My grandfather already borrowed his own money that was in our own name. But when the law came, I borrowed my own in my own name. So I subscribed to his debt in my own name through the law. I will follow everybody here. So what charged sin to man's account? I repeat again. What charged sin to individual's account? So what is the cause of the law? Sin. You don't get it now. See, listen, he says, that's why the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So being made a curse for us. What was Christ made on the cross for us? Sin. So what Jesus did for us on the cross was become sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says God has made him to be sin for us. God made him to be the curse of the law for us. How you get what I'm trying to say here? Jesus coming was a solution and healing for sin. Either the one in Adam or the one that the law caused man. All together, Jesus is a savior. How you get what I'm trying to say here? So that's why it will say that none shall say in Zion that I am sick. Because everyone in Zion we know that they have been forgiven. Because in Zion, it is. Are you following everybody here? Are you following me? There is forgiveness in Zion. You are forgiven. Anytime you come to Christ, say, Jesus, I believe Jesus died for my sin. You are forgiven. I don't care what you think about yourself. You're forgiven. Glory to God. I am forgiven. God has forgiven you. How has God forgiven you in Christ? Let me tell you this. You see, the wages of sin is death. And that's why Jesus came to pay the sacrifice for sin, the wages of sin, which is death. There is no amount of astagafulai, or I am sorry, that can forgive sin. It's not possible. There's no amount. It's not, so that's why I've told you. It's not like, oh, I'm sorry. No. See, just imagine this. This is it. It is legal. Someone say legal.
Legal.
Say legal.
Legal.
If you borrow $1 million from me, legally, and you sign the document, you should pay the $1 million back. You don't say, I'm sorry. What God has done concerning sin is not to pardon it like to overlook sin. God has never overlooked sin by saying, oh, okay, I understand you are sorry. No. The way sin is forgiven is that it must be paid for. It was committed legally, and it must be paid legally. And that's why Jesus came and paid for it legally in our stead. So he paid for it legally for us. So by paying for it, his payment for it is saying that, hey, you are indeed forgiven, and you are indeed pardoned. So my pardon, your pardon, is not that the sin has not been paid for. It has been paid for. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? The sin has been paid for. You are pardoned and forgiven and set to go because it has been paid for. You are not pardoned to go because nothing was done to it. Something was done to it. I was paid for it. So that's why it becomes illegal for you to be accused of something that has been punished.
So listen, if you are supposed to be punished for stealing, if you commit an offense, and the offense is 5 years imprisonment, and you are punished, and you go 5 years imprisonment for that offense, after you step out of the prison, and somebody is bringing that offense up again, it will not hold value.
Yes.
Because you've already paid for the offense. You have served the term of the offense. The same thing is what happened to me and you. The offense that I committed, Adam had committed, or whatever we concluded in Adam, and the one that the Lord charged on my account as a cause, Christ has paid for it. Somebody has paid for it, so it has been paid for. So you cannot be charged twice for the same offense. Amen. That's why it will be good for God to tell Moses not to strike the rock twice. You strike it once. The other time you speak to it. Hallelujah. Look at this. Time. Look at it. First Peter. Hallelujah. So Christ has done what? Has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he redeem us from the curse of the law? By being the curse of the law for us. Any which way you see it, Jesus look here. He is the balance to the equation. Any which way you see it, if you conclude it in Adam, here. Hallelujah. That's why he said it is finished. You know the meaning of it is finished? It means it is fulfilled. That's what it means. He said it is what? Fulfilled. It is fulfilled. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He said, who himself bore our what? So who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Now, what is Peter talking about here? I'm asking you, what was the context of Peter's statement? Sin. He did not even move to body. He's talking about sin. I am like, we're going somewhere. He said this. He said, well, don't worry, we will land. Don't go out after. Don't go out in the middle of the message, because he said, well, Pastor had said, well, you know, we don't need healing for our body. That's what I'm talking about here. I'm saying that the easiest way for you to receive healing to your body is to know the core of it. How Jesus uprooted it from Latin Gongo, from the root. The root of it is sin. Hallelujah. He says this, who his own self bear our sins in his own body. To bear something means to take it up on oneself. So he bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we've been dead to sin should live unto righteousness. So he now explained it, by whose stripes we are healed. By which stripes again? By what God placed on him. Amen. So you are forgiven by what God placed on him. Amen. You know, I am not forgiven because some people say, well, you know, I have done many, many bad things. So I have to come to church to give big tithes. Oh, I have to clean the chairs. If you want to clean chairs and do all this, do that because you love God. Because you love God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? If you do all these things because you are trying to earn forgiveness, Asan, you are deceiving yourself. You are just playing. What I'm trying to say, you are just deceiving yourself. There is nothing you are doing. God does not see that. You are still coming with Shango mentality. All those idol mentality. How you? I'm trying to say, yeah. There's nothing. There's no good deed you can do that can replace forgiveness. Forgiveness has been done already. Christ has done it for you. Amen. He did it for me. He did it for you. Through his cross, you're forgiven. Hallelujah. Say, I'm forgiven.
I am forgiven.
Say, I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
Say, I am not sick.
I am not sick.
You know what that means now?
Yes, sir.
When you say, none shall say in Zion that I'm not sick, you know what we're talking about here.
I'm not sick.
Glory to God. I am not sick.
I am not sick.
You know what that means? I am forgiven. That's what you're trying to say there. I'm forgiven. He said, their iniquities shall be forgiven. It's forgiven. I've received my deliverance. It's been delivered. I have got my possession. He said, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. The house of Jacob shall possess their possession. That's what we did in Zion. We have come unto Mount Zion. He said, to the company of the innumerable companies of angels. He said, the church of the firstborn. He said, to the blood of speakling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. That's what we have come to. I am not sick. He said, by his stripes you are healed. By his stripes, by what God has placed on him. God made him to be cursed. God made him to be seen. By that operation, he said, you have been healed. Glory to God. What a joy. You know, you wake up in the morning and you think this. You think this. This is what some of us think about. That's why we don't get depressed. I'm saying, because we are thinking about this all the time. All the time. All the time. What? Amen. You break up with me, Jesus loves me. Amen. Glory to God. I get disappointed. I get a job somewhere and I'm disappointed. Glory to God. God loves me. I told us last week, man, you disappointed me. Well, no. God will never disappoint me. He never disappoints. Amen. Man, you did, but God will not. He also tried to say, yeah. I'm not saying you should not watch football again. What, me? But for me, I will not watch life match. My heart cannot take it. It's me. It's me. Me. But if your heart can take it, bless you. But my heart cannot take it. I watch High Life. I mean, sorry. Highlight. It's okay for me. My heart is soft. That's why, see, my wife knows. Movies that I like to watch are space movies. Space movie, science fiction. Because I like to think the impossible. So, you know, science fiction. But all those movies about slavery, it used to spoil my emotion. I don't like wahala. See, Jesus died for me. Let my heart be just, let my heart stay like the way it is. I don't like anything that will give me wahala. I don't like it. Amen. Praise God. With his stripes, we are healed. We're getting to the last part of our message. Matthew. With his stripes, we are what?
Healed.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Matthew in chapter 8. Matthew 8, verse 17. This was after Jesus came back from Peter's mother's house. He says this. Let's start from 14. He said, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. What a Jesus. And she arose and served them. Verse 16. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were possessed, demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Now, listen. What Matthew 8:17 was quoting here is the same thing that 1 Peter 2 also quoted. So 1 Peter 2 quote the same Isaiah 53. Matthew 8:17 also quote the same Isaiah 53. Yeah. But now, in a way, two different applications. 1 Peter applied it straight directly to sin in the spirit. That a man is healed by Jesus' stripes. Now, what Matthew 8:17 is also saying is not different, actually. But what Matthew is saying is this. He says this, that Jesus healed those sicknesses, touched the fevers, healed the sicknesses, that it might be fulfilled. I would love to explain this well. That it might be fulfilled that what was spoken by Isaiah, that he will do this. Now listen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
That it might be what? Fulfilled. So because it will be fulfilled, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. So healing the sick, fevers, palsies, and all these things is so that it might be fulfilled what was spoken, that he will heal our spirit. Now, let me explain. So this is a concept. Let me give us a broader explanation. Huh? In 5 minutes. Huh. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if I say your sins are forgiven, it is spiritual, isn't it? Is it not spiritual? Because sin is a thing of the spirit, actually. It's committed in the flesh, of course. But the implication is spiritual. So, when I say your sins are forgiven, it's something that you receive in your spirit. Your spirit is quickened by God's spirit. It is spiritual. But if I say, if you have symptoms in your body of palsy or fever, and the fever goes, it is what? Physical. So this is what we are trying to say here. How do you know? How do you guarantee that there is a real influence of the spirit on your spirit? If you can be ascertained physically, then it shouldn't be difficult for you to believe that which has happened in the spirit. So in other words, my healing of the body is a proof of what I intend doing in your spirit. Let me give you an example. In Mark 2, go to Mark 2, Mark 2. Mark and chapter 2. Are you following everybody? So listen, everybody. Healing is God's will for us. God wants us to be healed. And so that's why I said this. I said this again. Now let me repeat this in case my time, time will catch up with me. When you say, by his stripes I'm healed, it speaks volume. What you are echoing divine realities from what is happening in the spirit to what that is happening in my body. So it's an echo of a divine reality from your spirit. For example, when a man sinned, death came. Sin brought all kinds of what? Goodies. Satan's goodies. I would say Satan's goodies. Now, in other words, forgiveness of sin, we also bring what? We eat all God's goodies. So when you say, by his stripes I'm healed, you are echoing not only forgiveness of sin, which is the real core matter in view. You are echoing that, but you are echoing beyond that. You are echoing all divine realities. Because what we received it by the Spirit. So I did not mention that part that we mentioned. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, be made a curse for us, okay? Because curse is everyone that is under the tree. He said that we might receive what? The promise of what? Abraham. And what is the promise of Abraham? The promise of the Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit, help me. So, amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, okay, being made a curse of us, so that the promise of Abraham might come unto us, so that we can receive the promise of the Spirit. What is in the Spirit for us? All God's goodies. Amen. Hallelujah. Sound mind is in the Spirit. Prosperity is in the Spirit. You know why I'm saying this? Because when you go out to preach the gospel, which every one of us will be doing, either going out or you're in school or anywhere you are, in the airport, airplane, and you're about to introduce Jesus to somebody, when the person is sick, is not out of line to say, would you mind if I pray with you? And if you lay hands in the name of Jesus, Jesus will heal the sick. Amen. The healing of sick is that it might be fulfilled, that he is doing something in the spirit. Or that he will do something in the spirit. Whichever way you put it. Yes. Are you coming? Look at Mark. Mark 2. Mark chapter 2. He says this. Mark 2. He says, and again, he entered Capernaum. And after some days, it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Verse 3. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So bottom line, they brought this paralyzed that guy from the top of the roof. Verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the paralytic guy, what? Son. Now, listen, everybody. So they brought somebody that is paralyzed. What should Jesus have said? If it were you, what would you have said? I command healing happen in the name of Jesus. Be healed. We bring it up. Which is not bad. But Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus. Listen, everybody, I want to give an assignment. I want to give us an assignment to go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. and study the character of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus used to do some things to do. Buga, I'm see. Now, see. I'm telling you, as in, before God and man, as in, I'm see. I want to say I swear, but I want to say yes. See, I'm serious. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Jesus used to do some things deliberately to buga. Really, normally. Some things are supposed to be normal. Okay, look at it. Why would Jesus say, Father, I thank you? You know, Jesus got to Lazarus' tomb. Jesus should have just said at Lazarus' tomb, just quietly, Father, I thank you because you hear me. You hear me always. Thank you. But what Jesus said, just say, Father, I thank you because you hear me. And you hear me always. Now, the Bible says, he said that so that they will hear. We're going to read it. Jesus said, it's not as if he cannot say, Father, I thank you, hear me. But he wanted everybody to know, I said, me and God, we have a relationship, we are the same. So that you will know that we are involved in this matter. Sometimes you flaunt it by the Spirit. Amen. What is the big, why must, I told us before, they came to him and said, Master, let us go to the other side. He said, go. Let us go. He said, go. Why shouldn't you just follow them? He decided to walk on water. Just look at it. He decided to walk on water. He walked on water in the midst of the storm, flying everywhere. You know? He does something deliberately to just prove a point. The Bible said that because of the people here, I have said this thing. So the same thing here. He said, Jesus did it. He said, hey, your sins are forgiven you. He said it. The next thing, the Pharisees and the scribes are thinking, how can he be forgiving sin? Who is he to forgive sin? He knew. He said, he looked at them. He said, listen. He said, he knew their thought. He said, I want you to know which one is easier. To say your sins are forgiven or rise up and take your bed. He said, look at the easiest one. Take up your bed and walk. In other words, by taking up his bed and walk, he proved the fact that when he said their sins are his sins is forgiven, it actually happened. Did you get what I'm trying to say here? When he said, so this is my point. It goes both ways. Sometimes you can also lay claim. Though you are a believer, you are a believer now, okay? You can say, Lord, you have said in your word that by your stripes I'm healed. If you have forgiven me in my spirit, Lord, you can do this one. And I receive it now. Are you going to say, you can lay claim on your physical health from the standpoint of what God has done in your spirit. You can lay claim on that. You can lay claim on even your finance, on your study, anything. Because by his stripes I'm healed, it echoes, it's broad. Hallelujah. Let me say this to everybody. Let me say this to us. Give me 3 minutes and I will round up. Hallelujah. Philippians 2. Paul spoke of Epaphroditus. Paul said that Epaphroditus, who is the minister, who ministered to my need? He said he was sick unto death. He said, but God had mercy on me. That was a minister beside Paul. Paul said he was sick unto death. This is my point. Is it possible for a believer to be sick? Yes. I'm talking about in their body. So that you don't condemn yourself. Say, I have flu. The head is paining me. My leg is paining me. And the Bible has said, I should not be sick. Is it that something is wrong with me? And you start condemning yourself. You know why I'm saying this to us. When you have symptoms and all those weaknesses in your body, it shows that you're my one. You have flesh and blood. Okay? And when that happens, you can lay claim. Nothing will ever corrupt your spirit because you are redeemed by incorruptible seed of God's word. Okay, I'm trying to say. Now, you can now lay claim. I say, Paul said, Epaphroditus was sick unto death. Epaphroditus was close to him. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5. He said, take little wine. He said, for your stomach. You know how many times? So they were doing something. That means Paul will be doing something. They will admit it, Paul will lay hands. Amen. Do you know Paul said take little one? He told Timothy. He said take little one. First Peter 1 Timothy 5. He said take little one for the infirmity of your flesh. Maybe the guy has Crohn's disease. Or something. And there may be layers. He said what Paul was writing as a father. He said take little one. But that does not mean that the next time they meet, he didn't say be drunk in wine. He said take little wine for your stomach. You have ulcer. And you now start carrying pepper. You carry pepper, you chop pepper, chop all the pepper. And as you are chopping all the pepper, you say by his stripes I'm healed. You hear what I'm trying to say? Yeah. The divine reality will never suspend your senses. That's my point. You must understand that why, listen everybody, why you are claiming divine health, because I'm trying to teach you something holy. While you are claiming divine health, you have to also make sure you are sleeping well, nice. You are eating good food. You are exercising. You do the needful. You keep yourself. You do the needful. I know a woman who fasted 40 days. And died. Yeah, her intestine collapsed. I mean, it collapsed. That's not divine reality. Hallelujah. If that fast was done in faith, after 3 days, the Holy Spirit would have said, "See, eat something." I am going to say, "Take little water. Take little water. You keep it. You keep your body." Amen. Hallelujah. You keep your body re-energized. You keep it. It's normal. Me and my wife were discussing one day. I said, I still believe this till today, that this the solution to all mankind's disease. I believe this personal opinion. That the solution to all mankind's disease, one way or the other, is different plants. Because why would God tell man that he eats plants? Eat herbs. What? So you see, somebody said, well, something is happening. They go to plants. They're different plants. You squeeze the juice. Even the antiseptics and the drugs and tablets, most of them are extra, plant extracts. I'm saying that you should not sound too spiritual that you don't see food as spiritual. Food is spiritual. I'm not saying eating food like beef food. I'm saying water is spiritual. Amen. Drinking it is spiritual. For your health, for strength. Eat for your strength. It's spiritual. Sometimes you want to fast. I've told us there before. I'm not being here. Just imagine. Eat everything. Require wisdom. Wisdom. Somebody will want to. Just imagine somebody that wants to pray 12 hours. I've told us there before. You want to pray 12 hours. And the first 30 minutes, hey, Kaladaba, Shantaladaba, glory, Hibatataba, he's a run the path. He run. See, very soon, after 1 hour or 30 minutes, you will be tired. When you want to pray 12 hours, at least first 2 hours, say, you know, you do that. Like, because you know why? Because as you are jumping up, there's physiologies happening in you. As you are jumping up, your ATP is burning out. You know, your body will get tired. It's normal. Opolony is normal. Are you understanding? It's normal. It's logical. Yes. You jump, you run around, run up and down, run up and down. ATP has burned. Everything has burned. And you say, I don't have strength to pray for long hours. You can pray for long hours. Start 30 minutes, maybe on the seat. After 30 minutes. Then when you know you have done 10 hours, the last 1 hour, there are 2 hours, you cannot say, oh, my mama, shut up. You had wisdom to eat. You had wisdom to eat. What I'm trying to say is that healing is for us today. God wants your body to be strengthened, to be well. You can claim your healing by looking at divine reality of what Jesus has done, and you should also take care of your own self by eating good food. And taking good, medicine when you need to take them. It's not a sin if you take medicine. The power of God, when the power of God comes to your body, the power of God is not afraid. When he says, hey, he has taken medicine, he runs away. No. Just imagine, the power of God gets to your body and says, ha! This boy has taken medicine. I will not stay here. No. The power of God will not do that. You take medicine. Eat food. Believe God for healing. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. Thank you, because with your stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are healed with your stripes. Our spirit is healed with your stripes. Our body is healed with your stripes. Our businesses are healed with your stripes. Our minds are healed with your stripes. In the name of Jesus. For those who need healing in their bodies, Father, we receive now instant healing now for them. In the name of Jesus, you take fevers, you take diseases, you take cancers, you take all this away, that it might be fulfilled what you are doing in our spirit, that it might be fulfilled what you do on the cross, or what you've done on the cross. You've taken all these things for us. So, Father, we lay claim on these promises. We lay claim on this reality, Father. Receive healing for those who have respiratory problems. In the name of Jesus. Receive healing for those who have, you know, CNS problem, psychological problem. Receive healing in the name of Jesus. Those who are oppressed, depressed, who are attacked in their dreams, or all kinds. Lord, with your stripes we are healed. We echo that divine reality through the power of your grace. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.